Father God, we love you in ways that we cannot express. And Lord God, we thank you that you don't ever change. Your love never changes. Your truth never changes. Your righteousness never changes. That is the solid rock that we build upon, because Jesus, what you accomplished, what you have done, all of those things, those never change. So Lord God, thank you for the security and the safety that you bring into our lives, because you never change. But Lord God, we need to change. So Lord God, today we ask you, what does change look like? What do I need to change, and how do I change? Lord God, your wisdom is beyond measure. Your grace abounds. So Lord God, we ask for that today in each one of our lives. Lord God, help us to put you in the spot that you deserve to be in our life, so that we may exalt you, we may worship you truly in spirit and in truth. And apply those principles that you give to each one of us. Actually apply those into our lives so that we can live those out. So Father God, be glorified. Jesus, it's all about you today. We love you. Show yourself to us even more. We want even more of what you have. We want to know you more. And Holy Spirit, you always have rule and reign in this place. So prepare our hearts. Continue to put in us a heart of worship. And Lord God, we want everything that you offer. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everyone said, amen. You guys may be seated. You know, as we were worshiping, how many of you guys in here can worship, but your brain is already also thinking about things? You guys ever do that? Sometimes it's in a distracting way, but sometimes God is like, man, our heart is a heart of worship, and our brain is thinking about those things that he's guiding us to. And we're, you know, going through the worship songs. It's like, wow, these are powerful songs. These songs have powerful truths. And as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, boy, there's a whole lot of different denominations out there, isn't there? And yet, those that subscribe to truth, who put the Bible as the foundation of their teaching, though we're different denominations, we are one church under Christ Jesus as the head. And sometimes we can discuss different things, like how does communion look, what time during the service, those type of things, and there's those little things, but ultimately we're all one church. So the biblical church is a beautiful thing, right? That's where my brain sometimes goes when we worship, and then something jumps into my brain that's probably shouldn't be there, like, you know, within those churches that all are biblically based and love Jesus, there's a couple things that probably every pastor agrees upon, and that is that Jesus Christ is the head, the Lord and Savior. And another thing they agree upon is they hate the time change. I think every pastor hates the time change because of what it does within our churches. And isn't it funny? To me, it's like, well, the time's not really changing. Just the clock is changing. I don't know. Anyway, that's where my brain goes. Kids, you guys are dismissed. You guys are waiting. Would he stop talking so we can leave? Nice. All right. I have one important announcement right now. I didn't even think about scheduling Church 101 on the Sunday that the time springs forward. We're still having it, of course, but if you guys would raise your hand, if you're staying for Church 101, if you're like, I don't even know what Church 101 is. Church 101 is a way to find out who we are, what we believe, what this church looks like, what our vision is, the doctrine that we subscribe to. Church 101 is also required if you want to become a member in this church. So we had a sign-up sheet for the last couple of weeks. We had like 25 plus people signed up. We're doing it right after service, and we're having lunch, but we need to know how many are staying so we don't overbuy the food in order. So Amy, grab a quick count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Is it it's the whole Patricia family. We'll just add in about 18 more on that one. You got, oh, we got it in the sound booth. I don't know. I'm not really counting. I hope you are, Amy. If you didn't sign up, but now you're going, hey, I could stay and I'd like to learn about this. I might want to become a member. Just raise your hand and stay. Okay? Pizza. The what?
Or I want pizza.
Or I want pizza. That too, but you got it. When we were in college-aged ministry, you learn real quick that if you're going to do an outreach where you're going to talk about the gospel or anything that includes food, you do the food at the end. Yeah. If you're doing a giveaway, you do the giveaway at the end. You got to keep them there. Amy, do you got a roundabout? Yeah, she gave me the hand, which could mean all sorts of things. We got a thumbs up. Right on. So that's awesome. If you can stay, stay. I'll say it again. If you're attending a church, and if you're a member of a church, you better know what that church believes, or you can get into some funky stuff. Also, Chi Alpha is on missions trips, aren't they? Please, please, please keep all those students in prayer. How many different, three different places? They're spread out all over. I'm telling you what, for us to pray makes a big difference. They may not even know we're praying, but it makes a big difference. And when it comes to mission trips, young people, great things to pray about is obviously safety, but not so much safety that it confines them and they don't grow through some of the interesting things that they might see, right? So it's physical safety, it's spiritual safety, it's insight, it's wisdom, it's knowledge. But man, it's like, Lord, do whatever you want to do in those young people's lives. Rock their world. That's a great prayer to pray. And we should probably be praying that for ourselves, our families, our church. I pray, God, rock this church. Do whatever you need to do in it. If it takes us out of our perceived idea of safety, go for it, man. We want to grow through that. So keep the students in your prayer this week, not just this morning, but this whole week. Four ways to give, like always. Hey, there's the Church 101. That's awesome. Give online, bridgehelena.com, or through our app. Lots of good things on our app. I will say this, that we are getting a new streamlined, amazing website, but the old one is up right now. Over the next probably month, 6 weeks, we'll be transitioning to the new one. Should be flawless, but if not, and you're used to giving online through the website, I would consider getting the app. That'll bypass that. You can also text to give to that number. You can give in person, of course, in the back. Envelopes are awesome. Or you can just mail it in. That's it for announcements. Lots going on. March is busy, isn't it? And then March leads up to, so the last Sunday of this month is Palm Sunday. And then, of course, Good Friday and Easter are that next week. So we have a lot going on. different spring breaks occur in there. So just be aware of those things. I think it's April 1st that we don't have Wednesday night class, so maybe make a mental note of that. But within all the seemingly busy times that we're in, never ever allow your faith, never allow God to be the one that's squeezed out, right? We got to keep him in front of us at all times. So let's pray, and we're gonna jump right into this message. Father God, once again, we thank you. Lord God, we thank you that we can gather so easily. Lord God, that the biggest issue with attendance today is a dumb time change. Lord God, it's so easy. You have blessed our country. You have blessed our nation. You have blessed this congregation so much that we can easily just decide to come to church and then with intention actually be there. That being said, Lord God, we pray for those that live in persecuted nations, nations that are under the effect of war, instability, persecution. Lord God, we lift up our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. And I'm going to especially pray. I'm going to pray for the believers in Iran. Lord God, they've been persecuted so much, and there's a glimpse of hope. There's a glimpse of freedom there. Lord God, you are the only solution, period. So use your ways, use your will to expand the gospel message within that country. And I'm going to pray that equal prayer to those that are living in Israel. Lord God, there's so many in Israel that don't know you. They don't believe that Jesus, you are the Messiah. So Lord God, I believe there's also an opportunity there. Lord God, of course, we pray against the effects of war and those things. But Lord God, most of all, we ask that you be glorified in every situation that you're involved in, and that we involve you in every situation that we are in. So Lord God, once again, be glorified today. Holy Spirit, allow me to preach those things which you would have me to preach. Shut my mouth with everything else. Open up our hearts this morning to be able to receive the message that you have for each one of us. And don't let anybody leave here the same way that they came in. And Lord God, let us not relegate this idea of going to church to a simple Sunday morning. But we are the church. So help us to live out your gospel message every single day. Jesus, we love you. We pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Who's going to be a little bit louder today to offset those that are not here because of the time change? Do I got any volunteers? Josh, I'm counting on you. We want you to be a little bit louder today. We got some people in here that probably, we've got people that are back from sunny California. Yay! Hopefully we get everybody back next week. All right. So, you can kind of anticipate sometimes that there's certain Sundays out of the year where it's like, probably our numbers are going to be a little bit down, so it doesn't affect my message, it doesn't change my message, but sometimes we just preach on something else, maybe something that's a little bit different. That might be today. I want to start out today with a familiar and possibly very relatable statement. Are you ready for it? Here it is. You need to change. Is that an appropriate message for this morning? You need to change your clocks, right? We need to change a lot of things. How many of you guys have ever heard somebody speak that to you in your life? Hey, you need to change. How many times have you thought to yourself, hey, I should probably change? Husbands, you understand this. You need to change. She's saying, come on and hurry up and change, is what she's saying. You need to change. See, it's true. I need to change. You need to change. And here's something that's even more relatable. The person that is sitting next to you, they need to change. Sometimes they really need to change. So often it's other people in our life that like to remind us of our need to change. Now, maybe it's for attitude reasons, right? Man, you need to change your attitude. Maybe it's for health reasons. That's legitimate, right? It's like, man, there's some stuff going on. You need to change how you eat. You need to change your activity level. You need to change your exercise frequency. So for health reasons, there's a lot of times that we need to change. Sometimes we just simply need to change because of emotional reasons. Multiple times a day, maybe we need to change because of emotional reasons. Sometimes we just get to a point and we're like, I need to change due to employment reasons, right? You're just like, man, I'm done working here. Either I want to grow more. I work with a lot of people that actually do need to change, so I need to change my employment situation. That's a legitimate one. Financial Peace University is about what?
Change.
It's about changing your current financial outlook and practices, right? So there's reasons, there's financial reasons we need to change, addiction reasons for change, and you know, we love to think about addiction as like hard drug use. It's all about hard drug use. That's what addiction is. And yet, anything that causes an addictive behavior could be classified as addiction. So sometimes there's addiction reasons that we need to change. I think we can all agree that, man, there are all sorts of reasons that we need to change. You guys get the picture. But let me introduce a problem, and it's a major problem when it comes to change in our life. Whether it's a legitimate need to change or something that is placed upon us by others, they're just telling us we need to change. The reality is most of us don't really want to change. We like where we are even if we don't like where we are, right? Because this idea of change, it can be daunting and it can be drastic, and we think, oh my gosh, that's the last thing I want to do, especially when those around us are telling us we need to change. Fact of the matter is this change takes effort. Change takes time. Change takes sacrifice, and change takes humility. But the other big issue going on here as with change, so many times change feels like a one-way street that's leading to a dead end. Do you ever feel like that? It's like, man, I know I need to change, but I don't know how to change, and I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know how to get there. Simply being told or even knowing we need to change in whatever aspect in our life, that doesn't really motivate or facilitate change, because to simply change or attempt to change really can feel like that one-way street that leads to a dead end. I got great news though, because on the other hand, we can apply a biblical principle and a biblical example here. Fundamentally, the gospel message is built upon the foundation of change. But instead of change being the focus, change becomes the vehicle to where God desires us to go. Wow, everything just changed, didn't it? We don't change for change's sake. This is not only offered to us, it's available to us. But even more important, it's God's desire for our life. Unfortunately, many forfeit what God is offering because, well, there's all sorts of reasons. But let us first consider the gospel intent of our life. You know, each one of us, there's a gospel intent for each one of us. Take a look at where we start and where God wants to get us to. We start out with death to life, right? John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but passes from death to life. Right here, a change comes through the offer of moving from death to life. So it's not just change. There's an effect from moving from death to life. How about dark to light? Flip that slide. John 12:36. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in the darkness. There's a movement going on here, right? We're not focused strictly on the movement. We need to be focused on going from dark to life. And because Jesus came into this world, there is, in fact, the potential to move from dark or evil to light, which is God's righteousness. And then we can talk about the sinner to the redeemed. That's found in Colossians 1:13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. See, once again, change is the vehicle that brings that transformation. It's movement, not just leaving one place, but moving to something different, in this case, something much better. It's also about moving, not just changing, but moving from the world to the kingdom. That's Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You're not just changing, you are seeking something that's very different, something that's very bigger, better. Our desire, our destination is to actually be the kingdom. And don't get messed up here, and don't let your brain mess things up. Seeking the kingdom doesn't mean going to heaven upon your demise or death, right? Sometimes we're so focused on heaven that we forget that we're supposed to be living a kingdom life right here and right now. See, when we become a born-again Christian, the kingdom principle for glory and eternity begins in our life right now. So the principle that really, the gospel principle, the biblical principle that we're talking about right here, all of these things that we just looked at, that is known by, it's simple, it's change by exchange. Change by exchange. We're not simply trying to change. We're exchanging what we have for something else. Change is just that vehicle that goes in between. When we apply this, the change comes because and through whatever it is that we're exchanging, that we have for that we are going to have. I mean, if you really want to think in terms of what the Lord is offering, what he's offering for us is to trade up. The title of this message is Trading Up. And when we start talking about trading up, I really think that's something that we can begin to really wrap our minds around. Wouldn't it be incredible if we get done with church and you run to the grocery store, or you go do something today? Maybe you're sitting at home and somebody calls you on the phone, and we are approached by that person, and they say this to us: "Hey, I want to take your vehicle, or I want to take your house, or I want to take your job, or whatever it could be, and I want to exchange it with something that is beyond what you could ever have hoped for." You get that phone call, and it's like, is this a scam call? You meet that person in the grocery store. What are they talking about? And as you converse with this even more, you're like, man, they really want to do this. Hey, what's the catch? And they're like, man, there's actually not a catch. All expenses are going to be covered. If it's a car or a house or a job or anything like that, they're like, all your insurance is going to be included. All your maintenance is going to be included. I just want to exchange what you have now for this that is so much better. And I would be sitting there going, sign me up. I'll take it, man. I am in. You see, the only cost to us would be that we choose to accept it, to use it, to occupy it, whatever it is. That's the only catch, that within that exchange, we have to live in that house, we have to drive that car, we have to work that job, we have to do whatever it is. Gosh, you'd be a fool not to be all in for that, right? Wouldn't you agree? You see, in a situation like this, I'm not focused on the change, because change will inevitably occur with this offer, but I'm not focused on that change. No, I'm looking at what I'm getting. And I also know, hey, this is not a fair exchange. This is not a fair trade. But because they're offering it, because it's their offer, I'm all in. Bring it on. I'll trade up this instant. You see, we are, and we should be, reluctant to change simply for the sake of change. But when we exchange, that comes through change, that when the exchange that comes through change is beneficial to us, the reluctance to change is eclipsed by those benefits in our life that are before us. Have you found that true? See, change, though people tell us we should change, though we tell ourselves we need to change, maybe we even know we need to change, change should never be our motivating factor in any situation. Our motivation comes in realizing that we can eventually become something different, somebody different. We can become new. We can do new things. It's not simply to change. It's the vehicle that takes us to something different. This is actually realized. It's the realized effect of the gospel message and following Christ, because he is the one that comes to us and offers that exchange. And we're saying, man, I don't deserve that. This isn't a fair exchange. You're offering me all of this stuff. All I have to do is accept it, apply it, and put it to use in my life. Sign me up. I am there. Please listen to me when I say this. Frustration, despair, and apathy will quickly rear their ugly heads when we simply try to leave something or somewhere if we do not have a clear path and vision of where we are going. You know why so many churches and church people are frustrated? Because there's no clear vision, there's no clear path. Where are we going? We don't know where we're going. We're just doing this thing on Sunday morning and we're just thinking this is great. And within my own faith, yeah, I read my Bible sometimes and I pray before meals. It's awesome. I just go through the motions because that's what I was taught to do, because they told me I need to change my ways. I need to become a Christian. I need to change my ways. So I'm doing what they have told me. Frustration and despair and apathy begin to flood in there. Because you're just trying to change something, but you have no clear vision or path to where God actually wants to get you. How many of you guys grew up in the 80s? Yeah! Gen X. Sorry, guys. Gen X. That's where it's at. In the 80s, there was a band named the Talking Heads. Anybody in here remember the Talking Heads? They had probably their most known song. And it's been in my head ever since I wrote this message. Get out of there. Get out of there. This song, the title of this song was Road to Nowhere. And if you remember the MTV video, it's like the lead singer and he's like running, but he's not going anywhere. Right? He's on the road to nowhere. Change, simply for change's sake, it is the road to nowhere that will only produce frustration, despair, and apathy, which the danger of those Those are the seeds that grow remorse and regret in our life. Taking on the mindset of, well, I shouldn't do this. I should give that up. I should just go to church. If that's the extent of your change, you will continually fall back into those very things that you are trying to change, right? It's like, yeah, my background, my degree is in nutrition, and right? And one of the big challenges is when you're trying to help somebody, say, to lose weight, is this yo-yo dieting type of thing, which people just see a diet and they jump on it and it's like, oh, I lost 10 pounds. But they've just changed a little bit. They're not going to anything. They're not changing or adopting a new lifestyle. So the yo-yo is that they gain that 10 pounds back and just for fun, they gain an extra 5. So it's this yo-yo effect. And over 10 years, though they've been dieting, they actually weigh 25 pounds more than when they started. See, they're trying to change something, but there's no clear path to where they need to get to, which is something completely different. You see, we can never simply give something up or leave something. That will inevitably create a vacuum, especially in terms of things like addiction, attitude, some of those severe attitudes issues. If somebody truly struggles with anger or depression or things like that, and even if we come to God and say, God, take these away, we want that change, but there's a void that occurs when we just want those taken away. And that vacuum that is created, it's going to suck in whatever it can to replace that void. You know, again, fitness stuff, some of the very best in terms of commitment when it comes to running, and we're talking like marathon running, you know who some of the best marathon runners are? Recovering alcoholics. They acknowledge that they had an addiction to alcohol, and they wanted to change that. And what happened was they no longer drink alcohol, but now they are running all the time, which beats up your body as well. See, there's that vacuum. What's gonna suck into that vacuum that is created? Jesus teaches this very truth in Matthew 12. It's Matthew 12, 43 through 45. Oh, my slides got funky, but we'll get through it. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it 7 other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation? That's a weird statement, isn't it? And no, this does not get into the garbage theology of deliverance ministry where there's people that think a born-again Christian can have demonic activity within them, right? It's like, the temple of the Holy Spirit shares its domain with demons. That's bad theology. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Within the context of this, Jesus is actually using this to warn the Jews that if they reject him as Messiah, if they do not open themselves up to him, they are going to be left in a much worse state than the state that they have began. Because without Jesus, there is always a void. Without Jesus, there is always a void. Jesus is the one that fills that void. On a much more personal level, this parable is appropriate for us. Conviction can lead us to change. to stop a sinful behavior or action, to leave a certain relationship or situation. But if we do not replace that, if we do not exchange, if we do not trade up for what Jesus is offering us, whatever that belief, action, or behavior is, we fall back into where we originally were, and it will be much deeper each time that we fall back. So we have to adopt both the teachings of Jesus as well as the person of Jesus here, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, self-help, secular self-help, and sometimes marketed within the Christian circles, self-help tells us you need to change. You simply need to change. You just need more fortitude so that you can change. But Jesus teaches us that we are to die to this world in order to become alive in Him. There's an exchange going on here. And then He gives us the Holy Spirit in order to do so. It's being changed by exchanging our sin for His forgiveness, our death for His life, our human nature for His righteousness. And yet, even as born-again believers, we tend to struggle with this principle. We also see others fighting against change while they continue to fall and fail right where they are. And I was having a conversation before church. Sometimes we're so bad at this when we go out and try to lead people to Christ and we try to evangelize and we just point out all the things that they're doing wrong and we tell them, well, you need to change those things. You just need to change those things. And we don't give them the full effect here. No, you don't need to change those things. You need to exchange those things. Change is the avenue to get to that exchange. Jesus wants to exchange what He did on the cross, the resurrection, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He wants to exchange where we are right now with those things.
Preach it.
Preach it. I like it. We had some noise in here. Paul always has good insight, in my opinion. In this situation, Paul has good insight for us in his letter to the Ephesian church. It's in Ephesians 4, 20 to 24, it says this, "But that is not the way you learn Christ." Exclamation point. There's something going on here. Paul's like, but that's not the way you guys learned Christ. And then he comes back and says, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, that the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupted through deceitful desires. And here comes the change, the vehicle of change to get to the exchange, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, creating after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul is talking here, don't just change. Don't just attempt to change on your own, or even don't attempt to stay the same way. Paul's coming out here saying, this is not what you have been taught. You know better than this, and yet you're either choosing not to change or you're just trying to change for change's sake. Because Paul had taught them what the Bible says. And what the Bible teaches us as well. See, the truth is in Jesus. And that truth is to put off your old self. Don't try to change your old self. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. We got to move on from that. We don't just try to change it. We actually trade up. We completely step aside from that. We rid that is in our lives. See, the issue here with the Ephesian believers was that they were falling back into who they once were. And absolutely, they were living in a toxic culture, a toxic environment. Guess what? We're living in a toxic culture. We're living in a toxic environment. And these Ephesian believers that have heard the truth but are not applying that truth, they're in danger of falling back into who they once were. And Paul goes on to say, man, you're starting to act like the Gentiles who walk in their futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. That's verse 17. You see, change for change's sake was pulling them back to where they once lived, where they had come out of. Paul is telling them, it takes more than just change, more than just not doing something. Again, the Christian church has been really great at telling people what they shouldn't do. Here's a list of don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't go to movie theaters. Don't play cards. Don't go to dances and all of those things. That's like back in the 50s and 60s, that was big. But we still do that same thing. Don't do this. Just don't do that. Everything will be great if you adhere to all the don'ts. But Paul's saying that doesn't work. You can't just try to separate yourself from the things that you shouldn't do. He's saying, don't just move away from your old self, but exchange that old self for Christ. Exchange yourself for Christ and be renewed in the spirit and in your minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You got to do these things. You got to exchange who you are for who he wants you to be. You got to exchange your sinful desires for the righteous desires that he wants to give you. Amen. See, it's an exchange of not only who you were, but who you are now, what you believe now, and how you think and act now. If in your life, you go through life just saying, oh gosh, I know I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't do that. I know that's not glorifying speech. I know I shouldn't have a potty mouth. I know I shouldn't treat my coworkers like this. Man, that is a negative attitude, isn't it? I mean, really, you're focusing all the bad things and you're setting yourself up for failure, disappointment, which leads to apathy, which leads to regret and remorse. What if we just exchange that? Instead of saying, I shouldn't do this, we start saying, oh, I want to be more like Jesus, and Jesus would do this. As silly as they are, WWJD bracelets, how many of you got one? A bunch of you got ones on today. What would Jesus do instead of what would I not do? Or what should I not do? Right? We're exchanging those things. Change by exchange has everything to do with living your new and true identity in Christ, actually living it out. If you're not doing that, then I could argue that's not the full effect of Christianity. That's not the full effect of the cross. You see, the cross started things that the resurrection finished, right? So we should never just focus on, hey, I'm forgiven of my sins. I'm forgiven of my sins. We need to take the full exchange and say, I'm forgiven of my sins, but I'm living a righteous, alive, abundant life in Christ now. You want your dry Christianity? Focus on the don'ts. You want the abundant, life-filled Christianity? Focus on those things that God is offering you. The crazy situation where he knocks on our heart and he says, hey, I want to exchange where you're at right now. I have this for you. And we're sitting here going, that's not a fair trade. I hope I can sign the intent before he figures out that I'm getting the better of this. It's the exchange. And all of this, it really comes down to identity. The reasons so many Christians fail, I'll expand this. The reason so many people in general fail, it's because they are reluctant to change because they have an identity crisis. Right? You know how many people in this world have an identity crisis? You know how many Christians, professing Christians, actually have an identity crisis? We can look to biblical examples here. John the Baptist is a great example here. See, he had to know and he had to be confident in his identity before the Lord, came, right? He had to be focused in from the beginning. The process of change leads us to those things we are to exchange, which shows us our identity, which then leads us in our purpose. How many of you guys in here want purpose in life? Oh, a couple of them. That's awesome. If you don't want purpose in your life, what do you want? I mean, seriously. I turned it on you, didn't I? Change leads us to those things that we are to exchange, which then shows us our identity, which then leads us to our purpose. How does that look? You know, it's like, oh, that's cool, man. That's a cool process. But how does that actually look? Well, it looks like this. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sinful nature and separation from God, which leads us to the point where we see the need for change. The need for change opens our eyes to the things of God: surrender, forgiveness, life, truth, love, grace. And this is the exchange. We're exchanging the junk in our life, the darkness, the death, the sin. And through Jesus, we are exchanging those things for those things that he offers us: light, love, life, the Spirit, his righteousness, all of those things. When this happens, there is a movement, right? It's a movement from our old self to our new man in Christ. It's a movement. When we're a born-again Christian, we're not still that old person. We haven't just adapted that old person. We are a new creation in Christ. And at this point, this is the exciting part. Now, we discover through the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit who we actually are in Christ. What an awesome time. What a time of trust and security and new identity when we actually get to the point where we discover who we are in Christ, because we've exchanged the old for the new through the means of change. That right there becomes what we can deem as our identity. And it is here that we can now begin to not just know our purpose, but to actually live out our purpose. And we live out our purpose through our identity, flowing from who we are, those things that we have been exchanged through and facilitated through the change that God initiated in the first place. It all comes together, and now everything's different. I wake up in the morning and things are different. It's not the monotony. It's not the depression. It's not the apathy. It's not the ho-hum going through the motions. I'm on the road to nowhere because now I have purpose in my life. True purpose in my life. It's not worldly purpose. It's kingdom purpose. Kingdom purpose is what brings us joy, not happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Brings us true joy. It brings us that initiative. It's like, God, I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know what my coworkers are going to say. I don't know any of those things. But what I do know is that I have purpose. I have kingdom purpose because my identity is based in you, because you took that old and you gave me new through the change by exchange process. Can you imagine if the church of Jesus Christ, not in Latter-day Saints, I'm talking about the real church of Jesus Christ, would wake up to this change by exchange gospel mode to begin to discover their identity, to begin to discover their purpose. Once again, a person without a discovered identity in Christ that leads to purpose, it's a dead end street that leads to nowhere. A church is the same way. A church has to have vision. A church has to have leadership. A church has to have identity. And then that identity helps us to understand our purpose. Or, there's always an or. Or we can just choose to stay where we are and fight God every step of the way and continue to struggle in our faith and kind of go to church sometimes and most of the time not and really struggle in who we are in God and who we are within ourselves and actually leave a Sunday morning the same way that you came in, except because of the vacuum that is created. Nobody leaves church the same way that they came in. I'm not saying it's always positive, because sometimes it's negative. See, back to John the Baptist. He didn't have the best hairdo. His hygiene was probably not the best, though he was in water a lot, baptizing people. His fashion choices were probably questionable, right? Camel hair and that thing, which is now desirable, like to have a camel hair jacket. It's really soft. Back then, it wasn't. What he ate, yeah, locusts and honey. You guys ever eat locusts and honey? If you haven't, the trick is you dip the locusts in the honey. It's like chips and salsa for John the Baptist. We could question a lot of things about John the Baptist's appearance and food choices. But here's the thing. John the Baptist knew who he was. He knew his identity. And he knew his purpose. And yet, this is so important, he still reminded himself and those around him. It's found in John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. You think John the Baptist said that one time in his life? He must increase, but I must decrease. He was saying that before he ever pointed the Messiah out. He was saying that while he was pointing the Messiah out. He was saying that when he was baptizing the Messiah, and he continued to say that afterwards. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, it is him and only him that must increase, because I must decrease. John the Baptist not sitting there going, gosh, I should change. I should just not do these things. Last night I ate way too many locusts and it gave me a stomach ache. Why did I do that? I'm gluttonous. I just need to change. That's not what John the Baptist was all about. John the Baptist was always about, Lord, increase in me. Exchange the stuff that is within me. Decrease those things that are not of you, that are within myself, so there's more room for you. Exchange. Increase, and I will decrease. I must change every day. But I must change every day by exchanging myself for the Messiah. When we resolve within ourselves to yield to the Lord in our life, it's at that point we can come to the realization of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, right? If anyone is in Christ, they just don't have a knowledge of Christ. They're not doing their own thing. They're not just trying not to sin. But if they are actually in Christ, then that person is a new creation. The old has passed away. See, the old is gone. The old is dead. It's been exchanged. Behold, the new has come. See, when we get to that point, and this is part of our identity, which becomes part of our purpose, we have that understanding that in Christ, my identity, who I am, it's a new creation. The old is gone, and I'm rejoicing because the new has come. It's not simply change, because if it was simply change, the old stuff would remain. But rather, the old stuff has passed away, so there's an exchange going on into the new creation. That's the whole born-again doctrine and application. The problem is, flip that slide. The problem is, we get so hung up on change and needing to change and trying to change that we get distracted from the exchange that the Lord is trying to offer and give to us. How many of you guys think that could be a tactic of the enemy? Let's give the Christians this doctrine and theology of change, but let's mess with that. Let's get the people so hung up on their need to change that they'll only focus on what they need to change. And once we get their focus on that, they're going to be so hung up on that, they're going to be distracted, and we can keep them from seeing what God is actually trying to give to them. What's God trying to give to us? Our identity, which leads to our purpose. Could it be this simple? Seriously? Could our faith, could our walk with Christ, could it really come down to a change by exchange? I think it can be, if we don't get simple confused with easy. We think simple is easy. Simple is not always easy. It can be simple and not easy. Because as simple as the change by exchange is, it can be very difficult to actually apply this into our lives. Why? Because it takes openness. It takes humility. It takes determination. And not just once in a while, but every single day. Wow. It's a windy outside. You see, we have to choose every single day to exchange our wants, our needs, and our desires for God's wants and needs and desires in our life. But how often do we not want to do that? Because we're afraid of what we're going to miss out on. See, we're focusing on the change again and not the actual exchange. Because if we are truly before God and we are humble before Him and we actually say, God, replace my wants with your wants. Lord God, replace my needs with your needs. Lord God, replace your desire with my desire. Man, if we're genuine before God, God honors that prayer. And what could be better? Seriously, what could be better? Father, exchange this for what you have for me. Nothing could be better. So why do we fight this every single day? Because to an extent we fight it every single day. We fight the exchange that He is offering us. Once again, if it's dealing with our house, man, I'm going to take the house you're living in right now, I'm going to give you, well, it'd be for me, I'm going to give you 20 acres on a prime river. Preach it. Full of trout. And not only that, in the garage, I'm going to give you the best fly rods, reels, waders, All of those things. And it's going to be a cabin with windows, and it's overlooking that river. And you can invite whoever you want onto it, but there's not river access on that. So, man, that's like your private stream. I want to give you all that. Oh, gosh, that'd be amazing. What's it going to cost me? It's not going to cost you anything at all. Oh, wow, you're just going to give that to me. That would be awesome, but 20 acres with that house and all of that, there's no way I'm going to be able to afford the taxes and insurance on that. Oh, no, did I forget to tell you that part? I'm going to pay all that forever, for as long as you live there. How awesome would that be? We look at that and be like, man, sign me up. But you're going to have to change. You're going to have to move out of your old house. Who cares? And you're not going to have a house payment. Who cares? And you're not going to have to worry about, you know, paying your taxes and insurance. Who cares? I don't care about that change. I just want the exchange because this is so much better. In terms of that, we're all in. But when it comes to what God is offering us, why are we so much more reluctant? Somebody had to pay for that 20 acres. Somebody had to pay for that house. Somebody had to pay for all the fly fishing goodies in the house. Somebody had to pay for that. Well, what the Father is offering us in exchange, somebody had to pay for that too. And it was the most expensive thing in eternity. And yet we can tend to fight that exchange every single day because we're so focused on the change. And then we have justification, right? We have excuses. Don't we all have excuses for everything? We all have excuses. Hey, why didn't you come to church 101? Because of the time change. Oh, that's the reason. Got to justify it. Got to have an excuse. See, when God initiates that exchange through the vehicle of change, we like to try to buy ourselves some time. Right? We say things like, oh, I'm working on changing. I'm just not quite there yet. I'm going to get there. I'm just living my life right now the way I want to live it, and then later I'll accept those things, right? Always those excuses because we're focused on the change and not the exchange. And again, to try to change without the parameters, to try to change within the parameters of the world, well, that still leaves you with the world. That's where religion comes in. Instead of God's grace, the biblical truth and the righteous standard that he wants to give to you. See, it's like taking a bath in mud, thinking that you're going to get clean. Doesn't happen, doesn't work, because we need more than the change this world can offer. Look at Romans 12, back to Romans 12, always back to Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Don't be willing to accept what this world has for you, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And when you apply that personally to yourself, what that leads you to is that exchange. And then you begin to understand your identity in Christ, which then leads to purpose. Now we take Romans 12 and we combine that with 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. How do we get complete obedience? We just change. No, we don't. We only get complete obedience when we exchange our idea of obedience for his righteousness, right? We exchange that. We change those things. And when we get to this point, we're living life and things are coming at us, but we have an identity in Christ and our purpose is being realized right before us. So then what do? Well, we enslave every thought that is raised against the knowledge of God. Things like, I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. I can't change. I deserve it. God can't in my life, or he won't in my life. I've done way too many things that God could ever redeem me, grant me identity, purpose, because I'm just who I am. Truth is relevant, isn't it? No, it's not. You're good just the way you are. No, you're not. See, there's a lot of those things that pop into our minds every single day. The word is very firm on this. Take those things captive. Submit them, bound to the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where that exchange begins to happen. We are to enslave every thought. We enslave them in order that we can exchange them for the truth of Christ. It's like, hey, I bought this from Costco and I either don't want it anymore or it broke. And according to Amy, oh, Costco takes everything back, which they kind of do. They take everything back. And we take these thoughts, we take these actions, we take this temptation, and we don't simply say, I need to change those things in my life. We take them and we exchange them for the truth of Christ, the gospel reality. Here's a glass full of reality that we can sip on the rest of the day. Many Christians struggle in their faith. It's a reality. Many Christians struggle in their faith, and as a result, they struggle in life. Worse than before they ever came to Christ. And they just forfeit ever living the abundant life that Christ invites us to. Worship team, if you guys want to come up. Why? Why does such a thing happen? Because change is something we seek to avoid because we don't understand the biblical principle of exchange. Each of us has the opportunity set out before us repeatedly, time and time again. And I'm talking about each one of us, those that know Christ and those that don't know Christ, those that are brand new Christians, those that have been Christians for longer than they've been alive, those that are wondering about Christ, those that have a firm reality of who he is. God lays a right before us every single day this opportunity for us to change by exchange. You see, God never changes. He is the entity that never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His righteousness never changes. His truth never changes. His love never changes. And we should rejoice in this, that it's not a bait and switch. He's the same, and we can count on that for eternity. So we're not going to get to the pearly gates like the cartoons try to show and be like, man, I did everything that God asked me to do. And they look and they say, oh, you were on the old rules. You didn't get the new copy. You're out. Doesn't work that way because God never changes. But because God never changes, we have to take what he has that he wants to give us. That's the exchange that he puts into our life. So though God never changes, he loves us enough to introduce change into our life. I could say, raise your hands. How many of you guys in here need some change in your life? And I would get upset because no one raised their hands. And I would get upset because God put us in such a perfect church that nobody needs preaching and nobody needs Jesus, because everybody's in a place where nobody needs change. But if I only left it there and said, okay, you guys say you need change, go pray and read your Bible and change. But if I withheld what's most important, the exchange process, it's what the gospel message attests to, remember. Then I would leave you in a spot where eventually a vacuum would occur and you're going to be blown wishy-washy. I scheduled that wind, by the way, just for now, for an example. No, we get blown by the wind. Ever changing, but never exchanging. So if you're sitting here this morning saying, man, I've been fighting with my faith. I've been trying to do the right things, and I've been trying not to do all the wrong things, but it's just a grind. I keep falling back into the same thing over and over and over. Then the principle of change by exchange is necessary in your life. And I would argue that it's necessary in your life this morning, today. In my own life, I have to resolve, I have to decide to die to myself every single day, right? Dying to myself means ridding myself of those nasty things that I don't want anymore. But I don't just do that. I die to myself so that I may be alive in Christ. It's the cross and the resurrection, which we will be celebrating in the next month, right? The cross and the resurrection. It's death, but it's also life. That is the exchange process from death to life. So if you're in here and you're struggling in any way, I'm going to invite you to get before God and simply say, God, I need that type of exchange Pastor Jason is talking about. I don't even understand that totally. Put people in my life. That's the other thing. All too often we pray to get people out of our life. How often do we pray to bring people into our life? Exchange those negative factors for the good factors. The whole mentality is crazy if you really start to think about it. But it all ties back to the gospel message. So if you're simply trying not to do things in order to live a life that you think is right, move away from those things and simply say, God, give me what you have for me. Exchange those things. Help me to die to myself that I may be alive in you. If that's you this morning, I'll invite you to come forward. I'll invite you to receive right in your seats. There is something that is interesting that happens when we exchange our seat for a walk to the altar, right? There's a humility and a yielding within that, but I'll trust the Holy Spirit that He will guide you where you need to go. So if you guys wouldn't mind standing up, we're going to worship. We're going to go back into that. But when we worship at the time of response, we position ourselves to receive those things into our life that God wants to help us in the exchange process. He's offering you that house. He paid the price. Jesus paid it all. All we have to do is accept and exchange who we once were for the new man. And that's an everyday process. Father God, we thank you for your offer to exchange. Lord God, we fear change. We resist change. But Lord God, when we put it within the context of what you want to exchange in our life, Lord God, that becomes wonderful. That becomes beautiful. So Lord God, in here today, I'll start it off by saying, Lord, help me. Help me to accept those things that you have for me. Let me never fall into the change for change sake or the religious change that so many churches try to press on people. But Lord God, I want your actual change. I want life where there was death. I want light where there was darkness. I want hope where there was hopelessness. I want love where there was void. So Lord God, within each person here today, Lord God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask that they open themselves up and receive what you have for each one of them. We pray this in the powerful, the most powerful name of Jesus Christ our Savior. And everyone said, Amen.